Well, guys, thank you for coming. Happiness is the Lord. Amen. Tell your face you have joy today. Okay. We have joy. Amen. It's not something I have to work up. It's something I have to believe that God has already given me joy. God has already given me strength. God has already made available to me everything that pertains, all things that pertain to life and godliness through Christ Jesus. Is Christ in you? He's the hope of glory. He's the source of your life. Hallelujah. And the strength, right, of your life. Hallelujah. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We are not to fear our adversaries in any way. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of your ways. He will direct your path. It's that simple. Just walk with him. Talk with him. Commune with him. Draw from the resources he makes available to us. All things. Remember, we talked about it last week, but we have that account in heaven. You have access to everything that God has because we're in covenant. We're the bride of Christ. Amen? So when you're in covenant, when you're married to your husband or your wife, it's no longer a me thing, it's a we thing. We're in partnership. Everything that I have belongs to Heisuk, except for my guitar. No, I'm just kidding. But everything that belongs to her belongs to me, except the makeup, of course. But do you understand what I'm saying? It's not a me thing, it's a we thing now. And so likewise, through the blood of the new covenant, you and I have been brought near. We've been joined together. And he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Amen. So earthly marriage is a pattern of the heavenly. So if we are in covenant with the Lord, that means that everything that he has is also ours. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And the problem is unbelief sometimes, isn't it? It's the blockage up here to actually believe beyond sometimes maybe just the petty things that we can believe for when God has more for us. You know, you can have a banquet set before you and you can just spend your time eating the dip and chips, right? I don't know about you, but if there's a banquet and there's some prime rib in there, we're going for it, right? I mean, don't mess around in the dip and chip, right? Go for it. God wants you and I to be strengthened with all might in the inner man by his Spirit because we are partakers of his holiness, partakers of his presence. It's his presence that we need. Amen? And when we're filled with Jesus, our minds will be filled with Jesus. Amen. Our conversation will be filled with Jesus. If we're filling ourselves up on junk food, amen, eventually that junk food catches up to you, doesn't it? It starts to affect your health. Amen. It affects the way you feel. You start getting this thing called brain fog. Amen. Well, you start eating some good vegetables, fresh fruit and vegetables, and eating good things that are good for your body, it's amazing how good you can feel, amen, and how clear-headed you can become. Likewise, if we're filling our souls up on junk food, but we're not filling ourselves up on Jesus, then we may have a false sense of satisfaction, but we will actually be starving and not aware of it. You understand? There are people who eat junk all the time and they feel full, but their body is actually starving. And eventually your body becomes sick. Likewise, we need to feed our soul the Word of God. Amen? We need to pray and receive, amen, the nourishment of God's presence, of His Spirit. Amen? So that our soul is nourished on that which truly satisfies. And that which brings spiritual health, strength, and vitality If you're spiritually minded, there's life and there's peace. When you're spiritually minded, you can see clearly. You can think clearly when you're spiritually minded. You understand what I'm saying, somebody? Maybe it's time to turn the boob tube off, amen, and quit watching the garbage and bringing that stuff into the eye gate, into the ear gate. What kind of music do we listen to? Praise and worship. Well, that's the good diet there. Amen. But do you understand, if you feed yourself these things, that's what you're filling yourself with, and it will give you a false sense of satisfaction, but you'll actually be starving spiritually. You'll be spiritually anemic, if you will. We want to be healthy. We want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. God's raising up an army, and these soldiers need to be disciplined. Amen. And prayer, fasting, word. Amen. Feeding ourselves on that which will keep us healthy and strong and help us in our daily walk. You know, serving the Lord is not something that I have to work at. It should be something that I delight to do. And when I'm filled with Jesus, I delight in the things that delight Him. When I'm full of the Lord, my thought life is better. Amen? I'm not being bombarded with evil thoughts. Amen? Because when we're praising God and when we're abiding in the Holy Spirit, it's toxic to the devil. The devil doesn't want to be in an atmosphere of praise. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. So you start getting bombarded with those thoughts and that other part of you, amen, that's trying to tell you what to do. I've got to fight to stay alive. I've got to fight what? Myself. If I can get control of myself, the devil will have no place. He'll know that he's wasting his time. Are you hearing me, somebody? So God grants us the ability, all that we have need of, not just enough to get by, but a superabundance. When Jesus said, I came that you might have life and life more abundantly, it's talking about superabundant and superior quality life. Overflowing cup life. Talked about anointing the head of the sheep. Amen. We need to anoint the head. Amen. To protect against parasites. Amen. From flies, biting flies and flies that would lay the worms. Excuse me for the graphics here. But you remember, the flies will come in a sheep and they will lay eggs within their nose and in their ears, and they will breed in there and they'll turn to worms and they'll start to torment the sheep. And if they don't deal with that, those tormenting worms, the sheep literally will bang its head against a rock until it dies. Do you understand? That's just what it's like with the enemy, isn't it? He will torment your mind until, in some cases, people literally commit suicide to be tried to be free from it. So we need to pray, amen, for the anointing of God over our lives, that God anoint my head with oil, with your spirit, amen, so the parasites can't get to me. And so the shepherd would lavish this oil upon the head of the sheep in every place, the ears, because they'd get into the ears and any, you know, place that was moist, so that the sheep would be protected from these things. So likewise, God wants us to have the helmet of salvation. He wants us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Be clothed in His presence, His righteousness, so the parasites can't get to us. Amen. They can't antagonize. They can't torment our minds. And then, of course, a good shepherd always feeds his sheep the best. He takes them right to the green pastures. He takes them by the good water, amen. He doesn't lead them to polluted pools of this world. But we can drink the living water, amen. come into His presence, hallelujah, with confidence, with faith that the blood of Jesus Christ is what qualifies me for the presence of God, amen? Not because, well, I happen to do a little better today, so God will like me a little bit more. God loved you before you knew Him. God says, don't listen to that voice. Listen to the voice that says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. He wants to give you rest. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If you got Jesus, you have everything. If you're in covenant with Jesus, all that pertains to life and godliness is freely given to you as a son and daughter of the Most High God. What we believe will determine how we live. Your life is characterized by what you really believe. And what you feed yourself eventually comes out. Isn't that right? Okay. Thank you, Lord. How many are glad that you came today? Amen. Amen. So am I. I'm glad I came today. It's good to be with y'all. I love my family. We're family. Okay? We need to remember that. The why we gather. Amen? It's because we're here to minister to one another as the body. And pay attention. Look out for each other. Okay? I can't do it all. I need y'all to step up and pay attention too. Amen? With me. Give somebody a call. You don't see them. You haven't heard from them. If God's putting somebody on your heart, pray for them. Amen? Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. And we thank you for all you're doing, God, and all that you will do, and that you're making all things new. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation. How about you? Yes. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. Hallelujah. Now, my mind doesn't always agree with that. My mind is where the battlefield is, isn't it? It is a battle of truth. What I'm going to believe is what I'm going to receive. And what I receive is going to determine how I live. The fruit of my life will be based upon what I really believe in my heart to be true. If I really believe in Jesus, amen, then I'll bear the fruit of Jesus. If I really believe that Jesus has set me free, then I'll walk in freedom. If I really believe that my sins are forgiven, then I will walk free from condemnation. See, the enemy wants you to have to pay penance, work for, earn wages. But the Bible says that by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. We're justified freely through the grace which is in Christ Jesus. My dependence is on the grace, the ability that God provides me through His Spirit every day, and not the letter of the law. Amen? God takes the law when we're born of His Spirit, and He writes it where? On our hearts. And He tells us that this is the way. We begin to hear the voice of the shepherd. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And they follow Him. Right? He knows them. They follow Him. And He gives them to them eternal life. How many born-again people are here this morning? Amen? Hallelujah. God wants you to have confidence that you're in right standing with Him. Because if we don't, we will come under condemnation. And when you're under condemnation, you do not have the confidence that's required to serve the Lord. Are you hearing me? How many know what I'm talking about? Where the devil has heaped, you made a mistake and the devil heaps stuff on you. And he tells you, you're all done, you're washed up, God won't use you. And we were talking about that this morning. You know, by the way, I encourage you to come to Sunday school. It's really good. We're going through the book of Genesis, you know, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. It's really a very thorough study and it's interactive. It's really good. If you really want to learn the Bible, come to Sunday school. Amen. We were talking about Abraham. Even though Abraham had failed God, he'd made mistakes, God had called him to be a prophet. Amen? And therefore, God didn't say, okay, Abraham, you messed up, you're no longer a prophet. You get it? Yeah. The devil tells people, well, you messed up, so God's no longer going to use you. No, what you need to do is simply turn back to the Lord and quit listening to that voice. Come back to Jesus. Lord, I'm sorry. I say, well, get back up. Let's get back in this together. Let's do it again. Amen? We're in a race. Man, we got to run to win. To reach that goal, amen, see Jesus there and receive the prize. Crown of life. Hallelujah. How many are looking forward to the day you see Jesus?
Amen.
See, we're looking forward to the day we see Jesus because we're living for Jesus in this world. If I'm just living for myself in this world, then I'm not really paying attention too much, am I, about the coming of Jesus. Who are those who are looking for his return are the ones who have divorced themselves from death, amen, and from this world system that's in rebellion to God. I'm not talking about the things that God made. I'm talking about that system of evil, that spirit of Antichrist that influences people into lust and covetousness, you know, and these types of things. Hatred. But God wants his people free from that by yoking together with Jesus, amen, and believing the report, for God so loved the world. That whosoever believes on, that means clings to, relies on him, would not perish. Those who believe would not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. I plan on going to heaven someday. How about you?
Yes, amen.
Amen. But you know what God really wants to do? He wants to bring heaven here through his people. Amen. He wants to demonstrate heaven here in the now through his people as we bring the gospel of Jesus to others, the gospel of hope. Hallelujah. How many of you can remember the day when you first received that shower on the inside and your sins were forgiven and you felt clean for the first time ever? Hallelujah. Oh, how wonderful. What a glorious day. You live in that. You walk in that place. Amen. Receiving the grace of God, trusting in the grace of God, believing that the grace of God saves me and keeps me, and not trusting in myself as the agent of salvation. When you are abiding in Jesus, when you are continuing in him, then you receive the gift of his Spirit. Amen. You receive the gifts of his Spirit and you receive the fruit of him in your life. And the fruit of him in your life is faith. The fruit of God in your life is self-control. The fruit of God in your life is love. Amen? True love. An unselfish love. The fruit of God is a result of God in us. Jesus Christ in us. The hope of glory. So receive the grace. Walk in the grace. And when you are walking in grace, you will not do what your sin nature tells you to do. That's how you live free. How many believe that Jesus Christ has already set us free from the power of sin? You see, what we believe will be reflected in how we walk and how we live. If I believe that I'm free from the power of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ, then I will live free, come on, from the power of sin. Oh, I couldn't help it. Yes, you could. Because you're not a slave, but you're a child, amen? A son and a daughter of the Most High God through covenant in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that Jesus went to the cross on our behalf? Aren't you glad that he shed his blood for our sins? That he was willing to lay down his life for the rebellious, for those who didn't deserve what he did, but he loved us anyways, and he gave himself for us. Even while we were in our depravity, in our sin, Christ went to the cross for us because he wanted us to be with him, because he wanted us to receive mercy and be united again with him, because he wanted to share his kingdom with us. Isn't that amazing? Jesus said, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. If we're in covenant with Jesus through his blood, if we are joined together in the Spirit of the Lord, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. then everything that he has is mine. Everything I have is supposed to be his. You get it?
Yep.
You know, I'm glad that God answers prayer. I'm very thankful that God has given us the privilege of approaching his throne. And remember, when you come before your Father in heaven, you don't come with any merits of your own. You claim the merits of the blood, amen, that sanctifies you and I and qualifies us to be in his presence. And if there's anything to confess, then confess it, amen, and renounce it. And he's faithful and just to forgive us. But we come to our Father with confidence, not based upon how well I've done, but based upon how good he is and that he has made provision for me to be able to call upon him. And so because of that, God does hear our prayers. God does answer prayer. And God wants you to know that, because if we don't believe that, then we won't pray. See, sometimes the enemy has convinced people that God is not listening, because maybe things didn't happen as quickly or in the manner that they expected. So the devil comes along and says, because God doesn't care about you, God doesn't listen to your prayers. Well, maybe you've done everything you know to do. Lord, if there's any sin in my life, please forgive me. God, I don't want anything to come between us. If I've sinned, please forgive me. Wash me in your precious blood. And then, Father, I just thank you, God, that you've given me this privilege, this opportunity to come before you, Lord, as a son. Lord, not as a slave that has to beg, and you know, but as a son that has access to the Father's house, to his very throne of grace. And I can make my petitions known. And do you know, when you are walking close to Jesus, then you're going to know his desire. You're going to know his heart. And the Bible says if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us.
Right.
Well, it's his will that none perish. Are you praying for your lost loved ones? Amen. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. Amen. God is able, more than able. And don't worry about the timing. Leave that up to God. Amen. Or don't worry about how it's supposed to look, because a lot of times we come before God with a preconceived idea of how it's supposed to look. We may pray the prayer, you know, that says, God, I want to do your will. But what we're really saying is, I'll do your will as long as it lines up with what I want to do. Are we willing to do what he wants us to do? And I say this, that when I walk with the Lord and I stay close to the Lord, I sense his desires in me, and they become a delight. It becomes something that I want to do. It's something that I get to do. It's not something that I have to do. No, it's when you're with Jesus, he has a tendency to rub off on you, to influence your thoughts, your desires. Amen. The Spirit of Christ in you. But we have to be very careful to listen to his voice when the Lord is poking us and or prodding us and saying, go do this or go pray for this, or, you know, that we're listening, that we're quick to listen to his voice. We don't want to quench the voice of God. Amen. And we don't want to harden our hearts against the Lord. And, you know, in Hebrews 3 and verse 8, it says, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they're always going astray in their heart. Where? In their heart. And they have not known my ways. See, God hates unbelief, because unbelief is saying that, God, I don't trust you. See, Israel didn't understand what God was doing. And they were relying upon their own natural reason, their own natural understanding, and looking at things from a natural point of view. And they had to get to a place, and God brought them out into the wilderness so that they would learn to trust in him, even when they didn't understand in their mind, to trust the heart of God. So unbelief, worry, fear, these things are basically saying, God, I don't trust you. Because if we're really trusting God, peace is the fruit of trust, isn't it? I'm at peace. Whatever. God, I give this to you. I commit it to you. It's bigger than me. It's beyond what I can do. So, Lord, I give you. I give you my loved ones. I give you those that I'm praying for. Amen. As a pastor, sometimes I'm trying to carry everybody. I can't do that. I just got to give you to God. Say, God, I'm praying that you just do that work in their hearts, God, and whatever needs to be done. Amen. That God will build his house. He'll build his church. Jesus said, I'll do it. We just want to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and do our part. If everybody in this room does their part, amen, the job gets done. If we're all doing what we're called to do, that God has assigned to you, if we're being faithful stewards of the grace that God has put in our lives, then we'll get the mission done for Jesus. Amen? Jesus will return. How many of you ever come to a place in your life where you're like, you know, I'm just tired of being where I've been. We get tired of being where we've been and done living like we've been living. In order for us to move forward in our Christian walk, we have to be tired of being where we've been. If you're content to be where you've always been, then you will stay where you've always been. Because this is a cooperation where God says, it's time to move. It's time to stretch. It's time to grow. I'm telling you to follow my lead. Israel, when you see my cloud settle, you settle. When the cloud moves, you move. But what happens is sometimes we can get content to just stay in the place where we've always been because it became comfortable and predictable. But we can't move forward with God until we get tired. And God has a way of doing this, doesn't he? He'll start stirring you up. You'll start getting miserable, sitting where you've always been and saying, there's no life in this. Because there's only life in the will of God for me. How many just kind of sometimes just want to play it safe? Escape into a little bubble. Live in your own little world. How many know the safest place to be is in the will of God? The best place for Israel to be was in the wilderness. Because it was there that God was working in them. It was there that God was teaching them to listen to his voice. But it was there where they were tested, you see, whether or not they would believe God to receive their inheritance someday. If you and I do not have a vision of the eternal, then we will spend ourselves living in the temporal and waste ourselves on vain living. But if you understand that this world is a sinking ship and investing in it is a lost cause, I'm not saying you don't be responsible, take care of your family, amen, get jobs and provide for your future, amen, whatever you need to do with that. What I'm saying is that we have an understanding that here we have no continuing city. This is not my home anymore. We're supposed to be campers. We're camping out, and aren't we? We're supposed to have our hearts in a state of readiness so that if the Lord says it's time to pull up your tent pegs and move, we're ready to go. And a lot of times, the move that God wants to make is in our lives, just in our hearts. I'm not talking about geographic relocation necessarily. I'm talking about that God wants to move us from glory to glory, from faith to faith. But if we don't see that there's something greater up ahead, if we don't get the vision of the eternal, then we will spend ourselves wasting our lives on the temporal. And one day you wake up and you say, where have all the years gone? Are you hearing me? And how many remember that there's no way you can go back and redeem what happened yesterday? You can't make up for yesterday, but you do have today. And maybe you have tomorrow. We don't know that either, do we? But we need to live in the forward momentum of the Holy Spirit. God is a life-giving Spirit. God is typified as a river that flows. A river, amen, is moving in a certain direction. God has a vision for your life, a will for your life, a direction for your life, and it's His Spirit that will get you to your destiny. And so that river has to be, amen, is going to move. But if we're not moving with the Lord, then we're not going to make any progress. And so we have to, at times, be stirred by God. God has to, just like He did with Elijah, was it? By the brook. Where all of a sudden the brook dries up. Well, he could have said, man, I really got comfortable staying here by the brook. Life was good. But it was time for him to move. So we've got to be in a state of readiness to move, amen, from where we're at right now today in our spiritual walk. Because let me just share something with you. I've observed this, especially when I've taken an older congregation that had been there for quite a while, and they were just used to doing the church thing. Okay? And they got kind of settled into complacency, and they kind of just enjoyed doing this little thing and having their potluck dinners and their Friday night bingo. They didn't have bingo, I'm just stretching that, but some do. They've completely lost sight of what it's all about. But I noticed that there were people that had been attending there and that had supposedly received the Lord 30, 40, 50 years prior, who were still babes spiritually. They were still on the milk. Well, they might have had a lot of theology, but how many know what I'm talking about? It's not just about gaining more information, having more knowledge. I'm talking about the character of Christ developed in them so that they're bearing the fruit of Christ. And not in a place of codependence where I have to depend upon the pastor or the leadership to keep me alive and keep me going. Amen? When you're a babe, that's one thing. Amen? We need people to come around you and to help you and to support you and to pour into your life. Amen. But with hope that someday you're going to get your 2 feet under you. Amen. And you're going to start to learn to walk by faith, relying upon the Holy Spirit. Amen. The same Holy Spirit that your leaders do. That we might mature, because only mature people can bear fruit. Amen. So that's what God wants for His people. He doesn't want us to stay where we've always been. He wants us to constantly be growing and stretching. And any time there's growing going on, how many remember your teenage years? Oh, I can't remember that far back, but some of you teenagers know what I'm talking about. It's called growing pains, right? Especially, like we grew up kind of late, but we grew up fast, all at one shot, like in 1 year. And man, the Arnsmeyers, and it's like you're just, wow, there's a lot of aches and pains that go with growing. And of course, you want to grow up, but you don't want to have to endure any pain in the process. All right? Yeah. Maybe if you're a bodybuilder, you want to work out and have a good physique, but if you're not willing to put up with the pain, there's no what? Gain. And so it is in our spiritual life. It's not always about ease and comfort. It is about discipline. It is about praying. Amen. It is about giving up our time. Amen. For the Lord's will. Doing what He wants over what we may want to do. And that means there's also going to be rejection. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be people that don't want you around. They don't like your company anymore. Well, that's okay. Jesus said in that day, rejoice. Leap for joy. If you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake, that's a good thing. But we don't want to get into a place where we're just content to sit, soak, and sour. You understand, water has to be flowing and to be living water. If you want to just sit in the bathtub, it's okay if you're sitting in the bathtub for an hour. After that, it gets pretty bad, doesn't it? It's time to get out of the water, man. We need to get in the flow or the will of God for our lives. Discover, find what God is doing. Join Him in that and let's go forward. Amen. And bear fruit unto eternal life. Forgetting what happened yesterday. Quit living out of the regrets of yesterday. Forgetting those things. Press on towards the mark of the high call. What is that? Everyone here has a destiny, a God-ordained destiny. God wants you to discover it. And God will show you that as you walk with Him step by step, day by day. Amen. Even when things don't seem to make sense, things aren't going your way, we trust the Lord that He knows what He's doing and He's bringing me through something because He wants to prepare me for something that's up ahead. Amen. In other words, God is training you for reigning. He's training for reigning. Amen. We have to be disciplined as soldiers. We have to be trained. Amen. So that we can reign with Him. And so there are things that happen, difficulties, trials, temptations that come our way. But through it all, we learn to trust in Jesus. We learn to trust in God. We know that God's grace is sufficient for us. We know that God is faithful to us. We know that God will not leave me. He will not forsake me. That God only has good in store for me. God does not hate me. God loves me. I am the apple of His eye. I am His son. And a good father will take care of his children. Amen. Don't live in doubt. Don't live in fear. Don't live in condemnation. Don't let that devil lie to you and tell you that God doesn't like you. We all have children that sometimes they do things that disappoint us, that grieve us. I've done that many times to my folks. But it doesn't mean that you stop loving your children. If a child will not listen, they can get themselves in some serious trouble. Come on, somebody. And there are many enemies. There's a reason why you tell your daughter it's not okay to sleep over so-and-so's house. Because you want to protect your children. You don't know. If you can't be there to know what's going on, amen, and you don't know the situation because you care, you tell them not. But then sometimes the kids will say, well, I want to do my own thing. And they sneak out. Well, guess what? They just took themselves out from under your authority and out from under your protection. And they have made themselves vulnerable. It's not your will. It's not your heart for them. But they chose to go their own way. Because they had a free will to choose. Likewise, God says, be wise. Listen to me. Be strong and listen to my voice. I'm allowing you to go through things right now in your life because I want to develop character in you. I want to produce steadfastness in your life. I'm training you. I'm equipping you for reigning. And good leaders are leaders that are not easily shaken. Are you hearing me? Especially by petty things. We're in a hurry growing up, aren't we? When I was a kid, I was always like wanting to grow up fast. And so when you're a kid, you start acting like adults when you're still kids, right? Yep. Dressing like, because you have a desire to grow up. Well, that's normal. Amen? But we don't want our kids to grow up too fast, do we? There's a healthy growth, right? Level of growth. So God is perfect in that. And He is at work in our hearts. He's at work in our lives. And He knows what it takes to get us to where we need to be. But He doesn't want stubbornness. He doesn't want us to be like the horse or mule that has to be bridled. Amen? He wants us to be a responsible and responsive to His voice. To cooperate with the Holy Spirit. How many have discovered that you can do whatever you want? Right? We can do whatever we want. God says it's your choice. But if you want to live, you're going to have to come with me. If you want to receive all that belongs to me, you're going to have to come with me. You can't go your own way. When you were young, you went your own way. When you were a child, you went your own way. But when you become an adult, if you become an adult, you start taking on responsibility. Amen? I got to get up and go to work. I don't feel like it today. I think I'll just sleep in. Well, how does that work? You start to discipline yourself, don't you? You have to say, but this is right. It doesn't always feel good, but it produces good fruit. Do not harden your hearts. This is an admonition for the church today. If you can hear His voice, listen to His voice. Don't harden yourself against what God is saying. Are you hearing me, somebody? Because I believe that your heart can become, and I know I can tell you personally, that your heart can become like a muscle that gets calloused. It can become insensitive to the Spirit of God because I'm hardening myself by resisting His Spirit. When I know God's telling me to do something, He's giving me an instruction, but I'm refusing to listen, my heart can start to get insensitive. It becomes hardened to where the things that used to make me blush no longer do. Amen? The things that used to bug me about the unrighteousness and the injustice in these things don't bother me like it used to. Do you understand that God grieves over the things that happen in the world? He grieves over the injustice. He grieves over the children that suffer. Amen? But if we harden ourselves against the Spirit of God and we refuse, see, we can hear the messages, but it's almost dangerous sometimes for some people to hear the message. Because if you're hearing the message, but you're not mixing it with faith, in other words, you're not believing it to the point where you start to live out what you're receiving, then just like Israel of old, you can become hardened. Are you hearing me? Now, it's getting quiet for a reason. Because you all know what I'm talking about. And I've had times in my life where I have been stubborn. Hello. Just like you have. Don't look so sanctified today. But this is the good news. And I'm going to give you this illustration. And I think we'll be through after this. Jesus said you cannot put new wine into an old wineskin. All right? Or the new wineskin, right, the old wineskin will burst. And why is it? Because a wineskin was made of an animal hide, right? And it would be cured and it would be flexible when it was new. And if you put grape juice into a flexible wineskin in the East, you know, where it's hot and the sun begins to beat on that, guess what happens? Fermentation. And it begins to swell and expand. So a wineskin needed to be flexible because if you tried to put, after a while, what happens is the wineskin can become inflexible because it's reached its life. If you tried to put new wine into that, then it will try to expand that brittle wineskin and what? It'll burst and everything will be lost. Now, Jesus was talking about you can't just patch up the old man. You can't just improve your life and try to live better, turn over a new leaf. He says you've got to discard your old life completely and you need to live in the new life. I came to give you a new heart. I'm going to put my Spirit within you. You'll become sons and daughters. You become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? But listen, sometimes as God's children, this is what I want to bring out today. Because we Sometimes they're stubborn and we're not listening like we should. We can become hardened. All right? And God doesn't pour new wine into an old wineskin. There's times in our lives where we just need to like break the mold of where we've been, what we've always been doing in my comfort zone of predictability. Amen. I've got to completely step out of that into the new, fresh thing that God is doing right now. I've got to get out of the pond and into the river with Jesus where there is life. Are you hearing me, somebody? And I need to start moving with the Spirit of God because God has a destiny, and the only way I'm going to get there is by walking with Jesus every day of my life, step by step, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. And if your wineskin has become brittle, guess what they would do? They would take oil. And they would begin to work that oil into that old wineskin. Did you know that they could actually regenerate? I don't know if it's reconstitute, but they could actually bring flexibility back into that old wineskin through the anointing oil. Are you hearing me, somebody? It is a spirit of grace, a spirit of God, amen, that renews and revives. Amen. Some of you may feel like a brittle, dried up wineskin. But man, you start getting immersed in the Holy Spirit again. Start getting into the presence of God again. Start hungering and thirsting, amen, for Him. And God will work that into your life. Amen. He will begin to revive you. So that you're now in a place where you can contain the new wine, amen, that He wants to pour into your life even today. Is this making sense? You cannot put new wine into an old wineskin. You cannot receive what God has for you as long as you're content to stay where you've always been. And I won't move forward with God until I come to the place where I'm sick of being where I've been. Amen. And back to the folks I've seen 40, 50 years, and they were dry as dust. And what happened is a lot of them became gospel hardened. They'd heard it over. They could quote the scriptures. They could finish your sentence for you. But there was no movement in their spirit. There was no trembling at the word, if you will. There was no, you know, faith of heart anymore. It was just theological concepts. And how impressed I was because I knew these things, you know. No, God wants His people to flow with Him, to move with Him. It's simple. It's as a child could understand. We just come to our Father. We come needy. Amen. Hungry. Lord, I need what You have for me today. I don't have what it takes to do what You've called me to do. So I come to You for grace. I come to You for my daily bread. I come to You for help. Amen. And God, I don't want to get stuck in a rut. There's times sometimes you feel like you're just treading water. Well, sometimes God will keep you in a place for a season. Why? Because that's where the cloud of His glory settles. But we need to be mindful. Now, the Lord has moved on. I got to be moving with Him. Let me give you an example. Sometimes, in fact, most denominations, even, believe it or not, United Methodists, they began in the fire. They were the Pentecostals of that day, the Methodists. Yeah. Now, I'm not going to say they're all like that, but if you look at the Methodist Church today and you compare it to where they began, we have a problem, Houston. Yeah. Things are not where they should be. And the reason why, and I think even, I don't care if it's Church of God, Assembly of God, whatever denomination, whatever label you want to put on yourself, amen, we as individuals need to stay fluid in the Spirit. We need to stay moving with the Spirit and don't get stuck in something that God did 20 years ago. And what it is they came in through the fire, amen, in a time of spiritual awakening. And it was a movement of God. And so we label the movement, Church of God, Assembly of God, whatever it might be, Presbyterian, And we put labels on the move of God. And so we say, hey, I kind of like where things are at. And we're in this kind of holding pattern. And it was good for a while, but all of a sudden, God is moving in a little different direction. And we're still back here trying to do what we've always done. Are you hearing me? And we're not moving with the Spirit. And what happens is that becomes a dry, brittle, dead. Come on. An old wineskin. So we need to stay with the Spirit. Move with the Spirit. God is in movement. The river of God is moving. We're supposed to be moving forward from glory to glory, from faith to faith. We're not supposed to get into a place where we're in predictable comfort and just, I like just being right here doing what I've always done. In fact, I even have my assigned seat. In fact, I can look around here. I know you guys are already like, that's the seat I always sit in right there. There's nothing wrong with that except the plaque is missing. No, I'm just kidding. Do you understand what happens? We can just get into a routine of doing something that we can naturally do that doesn't require any faith, doesn't require the power of God. It's just something that we do. And if it's not God, if it's not of God, then it's an old wineskin. It's dead. It's lifeless. And people, after a while, either they just stay and die on the vine, if you will, or sleep in the light, or they completely break off altogether from any kind of fellowship. And they go into the world. God wants us to listen. All right? God is a good father to us. He has good gifts for his children. He wants to share his kingdom with us. But he needs sons and daughters that are willing to cooperate with him, place themselves under his authority as the father, and to move with him. Because he wants to take us to a destiny where he wants each one of us in this room to have an abundant welcome into the kingdom. Yes, amen. He wants you to have an abundant welcome into the kingdom. So God gives you the choice who you will serve. You'll serve self or you'll serve Christ. And if we're just content to be where we've always been, then that's what will happen. You'll just continue to stay where you've always been. But if you have a stirring in your heart that's saying, there's got to be more. I'm not satisfied where I've been. I want to grow. How many here would say, I would like a greater anointing in my life? Amen. Well, how many know that that comes at a price? You have to deny yourself. You have to discipline yourself to pray. Amen. Possibly to fast, if God's calling you to fast, fast and pray. Amen. You need to move with God, because if you're not moving with God, well, you're just not going to get anywhere. God's given you assignments. Moving with God means I obey the assignment God gives me. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It's just be faithful in the little thing he gives you, right? So as I'm obeying the assignments, I'm moving with God. Faith is active. It requires obedience. Come on, somebody. Real faith has action, has evidence. And so as you're faithful, God then gives you another assignment. And as you're obeying the Spirit day by day in these assignments, he then promotes you and he entrusts you with a greater level of anointing. Come on. Now, we can have all of Christ in us, and we do if we're born of him, but there's a trust given here. The Father is wise. Amen? And he knows what we're capable of, and he knows what we should be responsible for. No father here is going to give their five-year-old the car keys. Even though they want to play grown-up, and they want to be that grown-up, you're going to have to go through the process, amen, to grow. And there's a certain speed that you grow, amen, that is healthy. Don't try to be what you're not. Don't step ahead of God, but stay in the flow with God, step by step, day by day. And God sees faithfulness and he rewards our faithfulness. You don't have to be like anybody else. All you need to do is just be you. God wants you to be you, doesn't he?
Yes, amen.
Together with him. Hallelujah. And then a greater level of authority, amen, is granted to those that he knows he can trust. If we want to be a fisher of men and we want to be able to disciple others, then we grow, amen, through steps of obedience and being faithful. We'll just call brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, amen? Just start being faithful in your life. Who are you working with? Who do you go to school with? Amen? There's your opportunity. There's your congregation. There's an opportunity for you to bear fruit with your neighbor, right, or in the store. Wherever you find yourself, being open to what God is directing you to do, and as you're faithful to obey his voice, not what everybody else is doing or Joe's doing over here, just what God is telling you to do. Just be faithful to that. Amen? Because I used to think, man, I got to be like that person. I got to be like that when I was a babe, you know. And I realized, no, I just need to be me. Amen? But I need to be faithful to what God has given me to do. And quit comparing myself to anybody else or judging anybody else. I just say, walk with Jesus. Now, you want a greater level? You want a greater anointing? For what reason? So we can please God? So we can bear fruit? So we can see people saved, healed, delivered, set free, right?
Amen.
We want an anointing, amen, so that we can demonstrate the kingdom of heaven at hand, amen, that Jesus is risen from the dead, amen? We want people to see Jesus. We don't ask for an anointing so people are looking at us, but we want them to see Christ. Hallelujah. Because it's all about him. He's the center of it all. He's the reason why we're gathered today. It's all about Jesus. It's all about what Jesus wants. We're in covenant with Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask if you take a moment to bow your heads this morning. If God has been speaking to you today through just this clay vessel, then you take that to him right now. Turn to him right now. Call out to him. Call out to the Lord Jesus. Ask him to show you the way, to remove any blinders off your eyes. Ask him to reveal his heart to you. Ask him to reveal his purpose for you. And pay attention to what he's telling you. I want to challenge each one of us. Just take time every day to be with Jesus. So get alone with God. Pour out your heart to God. Seek the Lord. Make time. You've got time. You can make time. If you've got to get up earlier or stay up late, do it. Get with God. Because your life is quickly passing by. And we have a race to finish. We cannot be complacent. We cannot be apathetic. We've got to be diligent and run this race with endurance. And we need the grace that comes from the Lord only. And we need the direction that God would give us. If we will pray and seek his face, seek his heart, and the will of God for your life, pray and say, God, show me. Open the eyes of my understanding. Reveal to me your plan, your will for my life. And when God gives you an instruction, it may not be a big thing. It'll just be something. He said, I want you to do this. Just start doing it. Just obey him. And he'll say, oh, well done. Well done. Here's some more. Here's a little more responsibility, but it comes with a greater blessing. And the greater fruitfulness in time. Just seek the Lord. Draw near to him, and he'll draw near to you. Call upon him while he is near. Don't let your hearts become hardened. If you feel like your hearts have become calloused and insensitive and hardened, pray to God about that. And ask him, Lord, I need your spirit. I need you, Holy Spirit, to saturate my being. Saturate my life. Lord, give me that heart of flesh. Take out of me that heart of stone. Give me your heart. Make me sensitive again to your spirit. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to be led by your spirit. God, help me. Forgive me for my rebellion. Forgive me for not listening. Restore me, Lord. Renew me, Lord. Revive me, Lord. Make me alive again. Wake me up inside, Lord. Bring me to full flame. Jesus, I want to burn for you. I want to burn for you. Light me on fire for you, God, with your holy fire. Oh, God, fill my heart with your love. Saturate me with your love, God. Captivate my heart and my mind to the will of God, to obedience to your will, God. And Father, I ask that you'd make your will my desire. Make your will my desire. Oh, Jesus, I don't want to miss you. I don't want to waste any more of my life, Lord. And I ask you for the grace to rise up again, to walk with you again, to stay close, and to accomplish your will for my life. Hallelujah, God. We're in covenant with Jesus.